Last week on Job, we listened to God's first response to Job's complaint that life isn't fair. It was complicated. I'd asked you to go back and to read two chapters in Job to try to make sense of it. Let me just review for you what God said. God's first response came with just three answers. The first was, "Were you there when I laid the foundations of the earth?" Remember, God said to Job, "Were you there when it all started, when I laid the foundational principles of how this world would work, when I created this world out of love and hope and set how it should go, allowing you to love me or reject me, allowing you to choose good or evil? You came along very late in this process. I know, I see, I balance things of which you have no knowledge. So let me remain God, and you remain creation, because you weren't there at the very beginning." But God also said to Job, "I am aware of evil. In fact, I'm responding to it all the time." And remember that image from the poetry of the sun rising in the morning and grabbing the skirts of the earth and shaking out the evil each day, like you shake a bedsheet hard to put it on the bed. God says, "That's how I'm responding to evil every day. I'm on it." And God's third answer in that response was, "I'm taking care of you. I'm taking care of every living thing in the world. Everything looks to me for food. I tend to them." And then through some beautiful poetry, God describes how he's taking care of things that we are not even aware of, like mountain goats as they retreat to unseen places to give birth to their young. You don't know where they are, but God is caring for them. Like deer who give birth to their young fawns and who must be protected until they're old enough to be on their own. And God cares for them. God says, "All of it, seen and unseen, I'm providing for. Trust me, I've got this." That was God's first response. To which Job said, "I'm not buying it. Not so much, God." He didn't literally say that when God said, "Anyone who argues with God must give a response. What do you think of what I said? Did that satisfy you, Job? Give me your answer." And Job gives this kind of sideways answer. He says, "What shall I answer? I'm small. Look at you, God. You're immense. What can I say in return? I've spoken once, and I will not answer. I've spoken twice. I'm going to let my complaint stand," is what he's saying. He's not yet convinced. He's not yet persuaded by God's response. Job said, "I don't know what to say to you, God, but I don't think you've answered my questions. I don't think you've addressed my concerns." And we who are reading along in the story, we kind of agree with Job. It doesn't sound like God was answering what Job was asking, which was, why is there so much evil in this world? Why are our enemies allowed to come in and kill our servants and steal our stuff, Job said. Why are the forces of nature allowed to blow down the house where my children live or to burn down the town of Paradise, California? Basically, we're saying, if we were God, we would not let these things happen. And the truth finally comes out. The thing that's been bugging us all along was that if we were God, we wouldn't do it this way. If we were God, we would do a better job of running the universe. And that is the core complaint of Job and the core complaint of anybody who reads this book. It's hard to say that out loud, but it's the burr that's been under our saddle for 40 chapters now. We judge how God manages the world every time something tragic or evil happens. We judge how God handles it, what God does with it. Like when a bride and groom are killed in a helicopter crash as they make their big getaway from the wedding reception, like happened last week. We judge God for letting that happen. Or people die in a wildfire, trapped in their cars, unable to escape. We judge God. We wouldn't let that happen if we were God. Or when someone takes the lives of others for no apparent reason at all. We learned yesterday, apparently, that the man who killed 12 people in that country western bar on Wednesday night was posting on Instagram in the midst of the massacre. He posted, "It's too bad that I won't get to see all of the illogical and pathetic reasons people will put in my mouth as to why I did it. Fact is, I had no reason to do it, and I just thought, expletive, life is boring, so why not?" That seems pretty evil. We tell ourselves if we were God, that wouldn't happen in our shift. And this is what's been troubling us the whole time we've been reading the book of Job. How could a good God permit, how could a good God allow all these horrible things to happen to his good friend Job? He wouldn't have let those things happen if we were God. I think the whole book is written really to address our conviction that we could do a better job at being God than God if we were given the chance. It's pretty bold of us to think that, but we do, and Job did. And we hold God accountable to our sense of justice. Isn't that the rub? Our sense of justice, God should do it this way. So, be honest, it seems pretty clear. God should have done something to strike down that shooter with a lightning bolt or a heart attack or a city bus before he got to the front door of that bar. That's how we would have fixed it. We have dusted our hands and said, "That's that. That's how you keep the world safe, God." And it's this conviction that we could do a better job of protecting the world from evil than God does that God now addresses in his second response to Job. God says to Job, essentially, "Okay, Job, you be God. You be God for a moment. You be God. Deck yourself in glory and splendor. If you can, be me. Wrap yourself in light. Make the clouds your chariot. Be God. And then do what you've been wanting to do, Job. Mete out justice the way you think it should be done." And then God describes what Job would do if he was God. "Pour out the overflowings of your anger. Find all who are proud and bring them to the dust. Tread down the wicked wherever you find them. If you can do all those things, then I'll hand control of the world over to you. I'll acknowledge that you know better how to save the world than I do." But we can't do all those things, and it's a good thing. Because we can't trust our sense of justice. We can't trust our sense of what would eradicate evil. We can't sense our trust of what would settle the score, what would resolve every injury, what would set things right. Because we would simply destroy it all in our anger. God says to Job, "You have so much pent-up rage, so much righteous anger, that you'd bring to the knees every arrogant person. You'd seek out every evil act. You'd crush its potential to do it again, and there'd be nothing left on the earth." All along, God has been telling us there is more nuance than you see to these things. The world is more complex than you imagine. If justice was left in your hands, there'd be no one left standing after you were done. We don't see the whole picture when we think we could do a better job than God. Our sense of justice is simplistic. It's uninformed. We have been keeping Cynthia's home and renting it in Colorado Springs, and so we have to keep up the maintenance on it. And so a couple of weeks ago, I went down to do some fall cleanup to get the garden and the yard ready for winter. The problem is it wasn't my garden. So I wasn't certain what belonged and what didn't. So as I'm working in the garden, I'm sending Cynthia photos. Is this a weed or is this a perennial? Should I pull it or should I keep it? Should I prune it to the ground or let it stand? And to be honest, after 3 or 4 photos, I decided to take matters in my own hands. Anything that looked like a weed to me, I pulled. Anything that looked like a bulb, I cut it down to the ground. Anything that looked like it would not like it would get overwhelmed by the snow, I cut back to 12 inches from the ground. I basically clear-cut her garden. I'm pretty certain I won't be doing this by myself next year. And this is our brute force sense of justice. We have like one or two rules by which we decide who is punished and who is forgiven, who lives and who dies, who's rewarded, and who's punished. But the world is not our garden. And we don't know what we're doing. So this is where we struggle the most in life. We tell God, run the world like we would. And God says, I can't. It's more complicated than that. We say then, well, at least tell us why there's so much evil in the world, to which God says, I can't explain that to you either. You wouldn't understand it. But know this, I see it. Know this, I'm on it. Know this, I care about you. We struggle to let God know things we don't know. We struggle to let God be God and to remember that we're simply creatures to whom God has stooped to speak to us face to face, and we confuse that honor with God making us equals. God's response to Job gets personal. It gets self-revealing. It gets vulnerable. God shows his heart. And it's aching. God says to Job in the very end, will you even put me in the wrong? After all we've been through, Job, all the life we've shared together, will you condemn me in order to justify your sense of what is right? Job's tender, compassionate, long-suffering God lets Job know how it feels. To be doubted, to be judged, to be considered inadequate by Job. And I believe it's this vulnerability on God's part that finally convinces Job, I'll let you be God. I'll ask my questions, I'll express my doubts, but I'll trust you know what's best. So Job repents, not of sin, but he repents of wanting to do God's job. Job says, I know you can do all things. I know that no purposes of yours, even your justice, can be thwarted. I trust you to be God. Forgive me for thinking I could do it better. Let's pray together. Lord, we've been standing with Job and echoing his complaints and his concerns and his questions all along. I suppose the question is, can we stand with him now in this response and say, oh, I guess it is bigger than we ever imagined. And I guess we wouldn't do such a good job if it was left up to us to run the world. After all you've done for us, Lord, after all the many blessings in our lives, forgive us for doubting you. Forgive us for insisting that you do things our way. With the help of your Spirit, help us to let you know what we don't know and do what we can't do. And that's run this world with justice and mercy, with love, and with patience, just like how you treat us. We do join you in your love and concern for this world, Lord, as we pray for those who have lost their lives in the wildfires, as we pray that you would, by your power, reverse the Santa Ana winds and calm the storms and let those fires be contained. We pray that you would step in miraculously. Do your good. Let it be seen by all. But whatever that good looks like, we'll accept it. We pray for our nation, Lord, and all the complexity of our turmoil and differences of opinion as we start yet again another chapter. We pray that you might somehow help us to be good stewards of this democracy, to choose well, to work together. We pray for those, Lord, whose life feels very short, who only recently have learned that there's nothing more that can be done. We pray that you would loom large in their room, in their heart, in their mind, that you would reassure them that there is so much more, that you're on this, and you'll take care of them too. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.